had a look on ceiling, a vow that all betray, for the passions that thrill and lead you high to heaven are the passions that kill love and let it fall to hell. So ends this story softly as in a morning sunrise. The love that gave you glory will take it all away.
Hi, this is your host, Gareth Rice, and you're listening to Canadiana Suite on UMFM 101.5 radio station. The tune you just heard was an arrangement of Softly as in a Morning Sunrise, sung by Joanna Majoko and recorded in the UMFM studio in Winnipeg. Bit of a throwback there. In fact, we'll be joined by Joanna Majoko later in the set. She's a Toronto-based vocalist, multi-instrumentalist, composer, and bandleader. She studied here at U of M before establishing herself in Toronto's music scene, performing at venues and jazz festivals as well as internationally. She's particularly well known for her rhythmic independence, which she seamlessly incorporates into her singing and instrument playing. She's also a member of the Astara Project, which is a woman-led group of seven artists who recently started performing and recording together, so look out for that when the album comes out. Before the interview, I'd like to start off with this really cool live performance of João Gilberto playing the bossa Samha de Minha Terra, then to Esperanza Spalding's original I Know You Know, then with Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass's duo work with I Ain't Got Nothing But the Blues, and finally with the alt R&B band Moonchild with Cure. Ding 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 ding
O samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. O samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quem não gosta de samba, bom sujeito não é. Ruim da cabeça ou doente do pé, isso é importante. Eu nasci com o samba, no samba me criei. E de danado do samba, nunca me separei. O samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. O samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quem não gosta de samba, bom sujeito não é. É ruim da cabeça ou doente do pé. Eu nasci com o samba, no samba me criei. Do danado do samba, nunca me separei. O samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quem não gosta de samba, bom sujeito não é. É ruim da cabeça ou doente do pé. Eu nasci com o samba, no samba me criei. Do danado do samba, nunca me separei. Samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo bole. Quando se canta, todo mundo bole. Quem não gosta de samba, bom sujeito não é. Ruim da cabeça ou doente do pé. Eu nasci com o samba, no samba me criei. E danado do samba, nunca me separei. Samba da minha terra deixa a gente mole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole. Quando se canta, todo mundo pole.
Try to pretend you didn't. Ain't got the change of a nickel. Ain't got no bounce in my shoes. Ain't got no fancy to tickle. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Ain't got no coffee that's perking. Ain't got no winnings to lose. Ain't got a dream that's working. I ain't got nothing but the blues. When trumpets flare up, I keep my hair up. I just can't make it come down. Believe me, Pappy, I can't get happy since my ever-loving baby left town. Ain't got no rest in my slumbers. Ain't got no ain't got no telephone numbers. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Ain't got the change of a nickel. Ain't got no bounce in my shoes. Ain't got no fancy to tickle. I ain't got nothing, I ain't got nothing but the blues. Ain't got no coffee that's perking. Ain't got no winnings to lose. I ain't got a dream. Nothing but the blues. When trumpets flare up, I keep my hair up. Hey, I just can't make it calm down. Believe me, Pappy, I can't get happy since my ever-loving baby left town. Ain't got no rest in my slumbers. Ain't got no feelings to bruise. Ain't got no telephone numbers. I ain't got nothing but the blues.
Joining us is Joanna Majoko, a Toronto-based vocalist, multi-instrumentalist, composer, and bandleader. She studied here at U of M before establishing herself in Toronto's music scene, performing at local venues and jazz festivals, as well as internationally. She is particularly well known for her rhythmic independence, which she seamlessly incorporates into her singing and instrument playing. How are you doing, Joanna?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Pretty good.
Thanks for having me today.
Thanks. Yeah, no problem. I guess the first question is, what got you into music and by extension jazz?
What got me into music? My love for music, the excitement and passion that music inspires, for sure. But it definitely wasn't a seamless transition. I think like most people, you know, you don't imagine that you can really pursue something or pursue your career, your life path in music. And so I had attended Brandon University as a pre-law student in preparation for law school. And in my final year of that degree, I had an extra credit to make up for. And I thought, why don't I just take or fill that with a music course? And I don't necessarily know what led me to pick jazz history, because I don't have a background in jazz per se, besides being in jazz choirs as a child and so forth. But I chose jazz history, and very quickly on, from the very first class, I just remember it was a very visceral sensation of I'm falling in love with this history, with this language. And it just quickly took over. You know, once the music bug bites you, it's really hard to look back. And so the decision was pretty simple from that point on for me, that I would complete that degree and find a way to start pursuing music. So I finished my degree at Brown University. I relocated to Winnipeg, Manitoba, and enrolled in the program at University of Manitoba. In the jazz program there, and that's why I'm a jazz musician today.
Nice.
Yeah
it seems like there's like a lot of like through lines between just like people are really like into jazz, like there's always like a kind of a moment where they just kind of get into the music, or they have like a class or something.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, whether it's the music you hear, the language, or the history alone is so diverse, so one extreme to the next, you know, it definitely entices everyone and everybody.
Definitely. Yeah I also saw that like you originally lived in Germany, and then you moved to Zimbabwe, and then to South Africa, and Manitoba, and Toronto. So I was wondering, like, how did all those like different experiences like shape your musical influences?
I didn't live in Germany. I was born in Germany. My mother is German. However, obviously growing up in Zimbabwe and being of two quite different cultures, as well as races, I've constantly been exposed to diversity. And I think that's really harbored the desire to pursue jazz, because jazz is very much about pulling from many different sources, and trying to convey your language, your voice within that language and history. So growing up in Zimbabwe, first and foremost, rhythmically, I mean, my desire and my passion for rhythm over anything was definitely inspired and born out of my time growing up in Zimbabwe and my roots, my Zimbabwean roots. Getting the chance to travel the world, whether it was visiting family in Germany or any vacations that my parents took us on. My parents definitely had a focus on exposing us to as much of the world and culture as possible, you know, to make us well-rounded people. And I attribute all of that to how it's influenced what I do and what I love about music.
Yeah, I can definitely relate, because my mom's from Trinidad and Tobago, and then my dad's from Ireland, so they both have like very different musical styles.
Definitely.
It's kind of just cool to listen to both of those and kind of try and incorporate that too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I guess like also, like I've noticed like in your playing, you have like a lot of like I said, rhythmic independence and a lot of like odd time signatures. So how did you get to the point where like rhythm is just like second nature for you and you can just like pull it out like at a moment's notice?
Very simple, practice. And I wouldn't say that it's second nature to me as of yet. I would love to say that one day it'll ultimately be second nature, but it really comes down to practice and internalizing. More than practice, if you can't feel it inside of you, if you can't feel it in your body, when I say inside of you, in your body, you're going to have a really hard time translating that musically through your instrument, whether that's vocally or through the instrument that you play. So not only practice and internalization, but what kind of music are you listening to? What are you exposing yourself to besides music as well? What kind of literature? What are you watching? Just what are you absorbing, the people that you surround yourself with too, you know? As much of that can influence internalization, if that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of like a melting pot of a bunch of different things.
Definitely.
Yeah, I guess going off of that, who would you say, like, in terms of like singing has influenced you over the years?
Array of vocalists as well as instrumentalists. The very first person who really ignited the spark for me when it came to jazz was actually, I was attending the Peace Gardens, the jazz camp program, which was my first real experience with jazz. I really didn't have an affinity for jazz when I was younger because I didn't understand it, as simple as that. I remember sitting and we had, in this week jazz camp that I was in, we had daily listening sessions. And Greg Gation, who's actually a professor at Brown University, who also happened to be the history teacher for the class that I took at Brown University. So a very small world for me at that point. He was conducting this listening class at the jazz camp and he puts on Kurt Elling's The Waking. And I'm telling you, like, from the very first bass notes to the first vocal line, it was like the hairs on my arms just raised. And I literally said, what is this, you know? And so, and then just diving deep into Kurt Elling, that's how it starts, right? I didn't know where to go, what music to listen to at that point. So I just became obsessed with his music and started looking, so he didn't write these standards. So these standards have existed for how many decades or years, and who wrote them and who sung them, and started going through that. And subsequently finding out obviously about the greats such as Sarah Vaughan, who I love. And because my timbre can be very much like hers, I really was drawn to her. And then Nancy Wilson for her soulfulness, you know, and really that bridge between soul and traditional jazz approach to singing. Ella Fitzgerald for her improvisational abilities and embellishments when it came to singing a melody. And then also crossing over into gospel, I became obsessed with Kim Burrell. You know, I'm very much obsessed with soul and R&B singers as well. So I think the key as well to being a jazz musician is not being stuck in just listening to one style of music. Because that's also not what jazz is, right?
Yeah.
At least how I'm sure you're still being encouraged in school and so forth, is it's a language, it's not a genre. So don't limit yourself, right? As well as, I mean, vocalists such as from Zimbabwe, Oliver Mtukudzi, Thomas Mfumo, you know, I talk about the rhythmic approach, Fela Kuti was a big favorite of mine as well. So just like broadening the scope of inspiration.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, I remember when I was listening to like McCoy Tyner and like, the real McCoy, I was like, oh, whoa, this is like awesome. And like just checking out like different just piano styles and all that kind of thing. And like you were talking about Sarah Vaughan, and I was checking out Live in Japan. And that's such a great album.
Exactly. Yeah. Live at the Tivoli, best, my favorite.
Yeah, you mentioned like just like experimenting with different genres and like just melding all those together. And I just like to talk about your recent EP, No Holding Back. So that was kind of like a mix of a bunch of different genres. So what kind of inspired the creation of that?
The creation of the EP?
Yeah.
I will say there was no main focus of, oh, I'm going to create an EP, if I'm being fully transparent. It was a combination of songs I knew I wanted to record, and with the support of my producer and friend, Nick Tateshi, who was also the guitarist on the record, he really pushed me, like, let's start recording these songs. And those four songs were, some of them written around the same time, but Where You Are, for instance, where I also got the title for the EP, No Holding Back, towards the end of the track. I wrote that shortly after graduating from University of Manitoba. And that song specifically was a message to myself, a song born out of the thoughts I was having of, okay, now I've graduated, now what? You know, you're so much of your focus in university is just getting to the finish line and doing it well. And so you sort of have a tunnel vision, and then you come out of university and you're in the real world or the working world, whatever, the career world. And there's no professors there to, like, you know, hold your hand or sort of like, this is what you do. Not to say that there's not people there to give you advice, but it's very much like, okay, I have to take things into my own hands now and with direction, and what do I want? And so that's what the song, that specific song, was essentially about. This is where I'm at. I'm going to celebrate where I'm at in my life. I'm not going to look with fear into the future. I know what I want for my future. And as much, I'm going to try and quieten the voice of everyone else's opinions, because that also happens a lot too when we're young, right? Coming out of school. And the other tracks, The Way Back Home was, I wrote that when I had just recently moved to Toronto and really feeling homesick, the dead of winter. When I say homesick, missing Zimbabwe, the warmth, the culture, the people. I was still trying to find my way here in Toronto. And so I wrote that one in a span of 24 hours, which doesn't happen very often for me. I'm not a fast writer, but that song just, like, poured out of me. Sorry for my running nose. And the other tracks came along as we started recording the album. I had tidbits of Bound, and then was really pushed to finish it. And I was inspired by a conversation I had with a friend who was relocating back home to Senegal and had recently ended his 8+ year relationship here, because he was going home to get prepared to get married for an arranged marriage. And just that decision to end this relationship with the love of your life out of honor for your family, I thought was tremendous, and was inspired to write that and utilize that song for that message. And Bold was inspired by a very dear friend of mine who was relocating his life halfway across the world, and just inspired by his courage, you know. So the EP wasn't necessarily like a plan of, this is what these songs will be. And every song is so different in terms of message, right? Every song sonically is quite different. So it really is just an introduction, a piece of me, and the first real time where I got to show people my writing approach or who I am sonically.
Yeah, just a kind of collection of, like, who you were, like, when definitely. You made these songs and just definitely. Bring them all together. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I think since we kind of talked about history at the beginning, I'm kind of curious, since you've experienced such a rich cultural music lineage, I was wondering what your thoughts were on the fairly recent debate of the usage of, like, BAM, Black American music, versus the word jazz. It was coined by Nicholas Payton, I think, back in 2016. Yeah.
Sorry, could you ask the question again one more time?
Yeah, I was wondering what your thoughts were on, like, the usage of using, like, Black American music rather than the word jazz.
Mm-hmm. I support the use of the word, the phrase rather, Black American music. I know that the word jazz has a really negative connotation to it, from its history and how it really was thought of in the beginning. You know, I mean, jazz music, I'm using quotation marks, was for a long time prohibited, right? It was considered like devil's music or just prohibition music. So utilizing the phrase Black American music, I think, is beautiful. And honestly, that's definitely something I'm attempting to do myself more, because this music is a Black American music, first and foremost. Especially, you know, being based in Canada and having gone to school in a Canadian school, but learning from predominantly Black American professors, you can hear the difference in sound from, let's say, Canadian jazz approach to an American jazz approach. And so I think it's important to honor that. And if anyone is sort of inspired or feels called to identify the music as Black American music, then definitely.
Yeah, I think the main thing is just to center the music as primarily a Black created music. Because if you don't do that, then like, why are you even playing jazz, I guess?
Exactly.
And especially now with like so many things going on in the world with like murder of George Floyd and at the protests, it's even more important now.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess also I saw that you were doing like a group project with called the Astara Project. So can you speak a bit about that?
Definitely. We just had our debut performance back in February of this year. It's a collective of phenomenal women musicians, Canadian women musicians, and founded by Jody Prosnick and Amanda Tosoff, who really are the spearheaders of this project. I really have to give it up to them both. And we all met in Vancouver for the first time. A lot of us met for the first time in the span of 4 days, where we rehearsed music that we had all written and arranged, and had our first performance at the Shadbolt Jazz Festival. And then the very next day, we recorded an entire album at the Warehouse Studios, this beautiful studio in Vancouver. So that project, I'm really, really excited about. I'm really passionate about it. It is such a phenomenal experience to be collaborating with women. It's not my first experience collaborating with women. I do also perform in an all-women Afro-Cuban jazz group led by Jane Bennett, and the band is called Makeke. But coming back to Astara, I also get to perform alongside my best friend and University of Manitoba alumni, Jocelyn Gould. So that's been really exciting, because when we were in Winnipeg, I mean, we literally were like two peas in a pod performing together all the time. And I relocated to Toronto. She was at Michigan State University, finishing up her master's, and just like a trailblazer living it up in New York and now teaching here in Toronto. But we live in Toronto. We rarely get to perform together, let alone make time to spend together. So it's been really exciting to be creative once again with Jocelyn. And these women are unbelievably strong at their craft as performers, but as composers as well. I mean, the music is compelling. And once again, because it is our first time coming together, I wouldn't say there's a specific theme to the music, except a representation of everybody's musical personality. So that's really cool. And then us getting to perform on everyone's musical personality was really eye-opening, of realizing that we can really build this cohesive collective sound.
Yeah, and to add to that, like, if there's like, everyone has like their own unique like compositions, but everyone has their own unique interpretations, and then adding off of that, like just playing together, that must have been really inspiring.
Definitely. And everyone has really, really, we have a lot of similarities in our histories, right? I mean, being women in music for one, but also culturally, geographically, where everyone has grown up, you know, Allison Au, Sana Kudura. So everyone has really rich backgrounds.
Yeah. And then just like, also, like you said, it It must be really like great experience just playing with women, especially since like jazz is primarily, I guess, like a hetero, like a male dominated like music, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I have to say the energy is different, you know? And so that's why I pointed out, because I'm not used to performing with all women groups that often besides being in Mekeke. So there is a difference in the room, not to say that I don't love playing with male musicians, but there is definitely a different approach to the music.
Yeah. Yeah, can you speak a bit about your Afro-Cuban group?
Definitely. So the group is led by Jane Bennett. She is from Toronto, Canada. And the band is comprised of women musicians from Cuba. So there is Jissy Garcia on drums from Havana, Cuba. There is Tylene Marrero on electric bass and acoustic. She is from Guinness, Cuba. We have Maria de la Paz on congas, bata, and any percussion instrument she can get her hands on. She's from Havana, Cuba. And Dana Olano, who is also one of the founding members of Mekeke, on piano. And all of us sing as well. So it's really cool to not only be playing with such phenomenal musicians. I mean, Cuban musicians are some of the most vivacious, you know what I mean? Like there is never a dull moment when it comes to the performance aspect, the music. And then on top of it, we all sing five to six part harmony. So that's really cool as well.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get away from the whole like the stereotype of, oh, let's play Girl from Ipanema and like, let's do it the same way every time. And
It's never the same, and we're not.
Yeah. Doing
that, you know.
Yeah, you get to experiment.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Do you have any future gigs or any future projects coming up?
Yes. I am performing next week Saturday for in celebration of International Jazz Day.
Nice.
I am opening for Cuban pianist by the name of Hilario Duran, who is phenomenal. I mean, I don't necessarily need to give him much of an introduction. If you're not aware of who he is or familiar with his music, I highly recommend checking him out. So I'm opening for him at Hughes Room. Now, not necessarily the old Hughes Room location because they are relocating. So we are being hosted at 3030 Dundas Street West here in Toronto. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, currently recovering from COVID, so definitely looking forward to being able to sing again in a week. And and then I go back on the road with Mekeke. We are going stateside, West Coast, LA, San Francisco, Half Moon Bay, that type of effect.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Gareth.
Yeah. Are there any tracks from your album or any of your projects that you'd like to play out with?
Yeah. I mean, my favorite all-time track from my record is definitely Where You Are.
Cool.
Yeah.
What you heard before the interview was Joao Gilberto performing Samha de Minha Terra, Esperanza Spalding with I Know You Know, Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass with I Ain't Got Nothing But the Blues, and Moonchild with Cure. We'll finish off with a live performance of Nardis by Majoko in the High Root Cafe, and two tracks from her 2021 EP, No Holding Back, called Where You Are and The Way Back Home. This is Canadiana Suite, signing off. Oh,
Thank you.